Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
All right. Now let's continue. The kingdom of God. And how did it all start? How did all of this start? We saw sessions 1 and 2, which I believe are on our webpage, or website, mpfccc.org. It will be, the first two parts will be on there. So where did we end off of? Chapter 11? Well, we saw that the children of Noah, yes. We passed the flood. Glory to God. For the first time, in Genesis, we see the name Abraham, or Abram. Genesis 11:26. So now let's go to Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Now, the first part that we saw in these subjects on Tuesday and Thursday night, we saw creation. So how God created Adam, how God created Eve, how God created humanity, etc., and how man had given the kingdom of God. We saw that. And God said, for your cause, the earth shall be cursed. So all hurricanes, all disgraces, all natural disasters and death is not because of God. It's not by God. Amen. And people say, why, if God is so good, why does he send all these cursings? No, he doesn't send you any cursing. Amen. Here in the United States, when in an insurance claim, they put acts of God. Yes, correct. And nonsense. It's not God. It's due to the fall of man, the cursing of man. Man led cursing. And the author of cursing is what? Satan. Understand that part? So how did cursing come in? Through one man. Go to Romans with me, please. You see the change that was here. There was a divine change here. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. Therefore, just as though through one man sin entered, that man being Adam, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So what does that mean, that thus death spread to all men? If you remember when God created Adam, Adam and Eve were what? Children of God. But when they took that satanic nature from Satan into their spirits, now the children that they were procreating came from what? With that satanic nature in them. Which is why we saw that man needs to be born again. And we also went against that lie that everyone is a child of God, remember? No, that's not true. Not everyone are children of God. If you're not born again, you're not a child of God. Because that cursing is still in there, in you. No one is saved for being good. Well, I'm very good, Brother Hughes. I behave very good. They've told me a lot. I don't hurt anyone. And does that mean that you're going to go to heaven now? If it's by your will, then Jesus died in vain. Now notice how here that sin entered through one man. So now let's go back to Genesis before continuing with Abraham. But we saw good information, especially on Thursday evening. We saw very good information. Give me one moment, please. I said Genesis, just hold on. Genesis 5. Verse 3. We're in chapter 5, verse 3. So where was the fall of man? Where he dies spiritually? Or where the man delivers that kingdom to Satan? In chapter 3. So now we're in chapter 5. Adam at this point and his wife were in that fallen state. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image. The image of who? Of Adam. After his own image. Notice how when man was created, the Spirit of God says in chapter 2, says, let us make him in our image, in the image of God. But now here in the Spirit, chapter 5, has the image of man, which was of Satan. So all who were being born later had that fallen nature. So how do you explain, unless you think that people who are born again will promote things like transgender, abortion, to castrate children, to kill children? I don't know, I'll give you all the information. But it's about between many countries, including the United States, it'll be about around 2 billion children that have been killed from years past to now. Your abortion, I'll give you more information when I have it. And what does the world tell you? Oh, it's because we have too many, and some have to die, because if not, we're not going to fit. That's the reasoning. The reasoning. The way of reasoning from human beings. Do you think God is dumb or something? I don't know if you traveled through on an airplane, but there's just a lot of free land. I mean, just driving on the road. It's man, fallen man, without Christ. So now, God made a covenant. What was that covenant that he made with Noah? I mentioned it. The rainbow, that the earth would no longer be destroyed through a flood. Well, God had been dealing with certain people here, with certain men. And the Bible mentions some of them. But at the end, he made a covenant. And how did cursing come through again? Which is why I'm asking so much, because, as I said on Thursday, I need you to start using your head more. How did sin come in? Through a man. Through who? Through Adam. So God stayed without authority here on this earth. Yes. Amen. Now, how would that enter then? Adam entered through a man as well, which was Abram. It's important to understand this for the following points that I'm going to be making these coming weeks. So God was going to need a man, a person. So here comes Abram, go to chapter 12. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Now, go to chapter 15. God makes a covenant with Abraham. Chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Well, what did the Lord do here? Chapter 15, God makes a covenant. He makes a covenant. Verse 4, And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So Christians say, oh, what do I care the covenant that God made with Abraham? Have you heard Christians say that? What does Abraham have to do with me? Everything. Turns out, God, to this day, this is how it works. It was through Abraham that God was able to re-enter to have a relationship with the people of the earth. And then, through Abraham, through that man Abraham, God made that covenant, which is known as the covenant of grace, without being under the dispensation of grace, because it pointed towards these times. He made a covenant. You know what a covenant is? Another way of saying, in society, if you have written something down, have bought something, especially on credit, you'll write something that's known as a contract. That's a covenant. That's a covenant or a contract. So go to Galatians, don't use your spot there, in chapter 15. Go to Galatians 3, so you can see in the New Testament, chapter 6, no, we didn't read that part. So in Galatians 3:6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Spiritual children speaking here. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. Does that include you and me? Of course. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is ours. And the blessing of Abraham, it included not only long life, but it's also speaking of salvation. It's speaking of healing. It's speaking of prosperity. The way of God. Amen. We have a covenant. Those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham. Now go to chapter 14. That in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles who, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant is a contract, an alliance, a pact. I remember back then, I think still in certain countries, a wedding ring is known as an alliance. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Wow. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Notice this. And his seed. To his seed. And now notice this again. I want you to see this here. He does not say, and two seeds, plural, as of many, but as one, and to your seed. Aren't you thankful that it's very clear here? To what? Who is Christ? And you and I are in Christ. You and I have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. But it all started with the blessing of Abraham. Now, let's see this, what was revealed to us through the Apostle Paul. Let's see it in Genesis now, chapter 15. Are you understanding now the relationship God and man being born again? If you don't do your part of the covenant, God won't do anything. Which is why they say it takes two to tango. Well, Brother Hughes, I am under grace. I don't have to do anything. Read your Bible well, but read it. A good Bible. Not on your iPad, because then they send you notifications and group chats. Read your Bible. You see many things that God tells us to do. Now, we do it through faith. The motive is love. But there's something that you and I have to do. Just read. Read the books of Ephesians, Galatians. Why would Paul, I think, told those in Thessalonians, he said, I was going to go see you, but Satan blocked me or stopped me. So he had to send someone else. Because someone had to teach them. God was going to manifest through that teaching. Remember when the Lord said in Matthew, what you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. There you go. If you don't bind anything, God will not bind anything. If you don't release anything, God won't release anything. Simple as that. What grace does is it gives us the legal authority. And God, He gave us the authority to operate in faith. You understand that? But it's not that we have our arms crossed, just staying there. Are you understanding this better now? Thank you for one amen. Just as long as one person understands, it's more than enough. Chapter 15 now. Verse 7. Then he said to them, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Right there. Where you used to live before, put your name there. Perhaps he took you out of the ghetto. Write your name down there. Verse 7. To give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram. Wait, we're in Genesis. Is that right? Many years before the law. What do these animals sound like to you? A goat, a heifer. Someone said something. What was that? Offering of what? What was that? Someone said another word. Sacrifices. There we go. Sacrifices. And the law hadn't come yet. Because it was another way that God would manifest. But who would bring the sacrifices? Man. Man would bring it. Human beings. Being born again in this case. God will not bring anything to your life unless you bring it. Meaning offering. I'm referring to offering. God will give you that offering. God will provide. But you have to give it. God, can you give it for me, please? No. Notice this. A turtle dove and a young pigeon. No. Apologies. Something passed my thought here. A heifer, a three-year-old female goat. There we go. Okay. 10. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two. Do you understand that expression? He cut them. Why? That is what is known as cutting a covenant. A covenant has to do with a cut, of cutting something. Notice this. There it is. And cut them in two. It's because we use the word to make a covenant. But the correct term is they would cut a covenant. Literally. I think perhaps you've even seen it on movies or something. But this is what would happen. They would cut their hands here, be it their wrist or their hand, and they conjoin their blood. They cut the covenant. It becomes a tremendous part. Glory to God. Down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. What does the Bible say? I think perhaps you did it in the communion. I had communion in my office. 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul speaking of this. 7:24. He cut it. There we go. Thank you. He cut it. Because the word of God was also what? Or the body of Christ was what? Cut. It was bruised. Now let's continue reading where we were at. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going up, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abraham, Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. This is when the people of Israel were made slaves by Egypt. And this is where another person, who is known as Moses, comes in. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possession. Now as you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Now go to verse 17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those places. Those pieces, that torch was the Lord Jesus himself. Hallelujah. Which is why the word of God says in Psalms, that a light is a path to my feet. Here we go. I'm going to go there. Psalms. Psalms 119. Verse what? 115, I said. Psalms 105. Your word is lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Him and his word are one. Do we have that verse in English, please? Jesus was there in that covenant, and you and I weren't born yet, but Jesus saw us there. Going back, verse 18. And on that same day, the Lord God made a covenant, or the correct word would be cut a covenant with Abraham. There we go. Help me with... No, not in the new... In the King James version of it. The Lord made a covenant. Abraham. Well, you see that word is better translated. He cut a covenant.
If
So if you let circumstances and adversity take you over, you have to exercise that covenant. And you have to resist things with the authority of the Lord Jesus. He cut a covenant with Abram. You and I were there. Well, after all of this, chapter 17, now Abram had to do his part. Aren't you thankful with the Lord that now we can say, thank you, Jesus, for this covenant, especially with men, and you'll see why. Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and saying, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and it will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. 7. And I will establish my covenant. I will make it valid, is what it means. I will make that covenant valid between me and you and your descendants after you in your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Wow. An everlasting covenant. That covenant never ends. Actually, Abraham, when he cut those animals, he had to separate the blood. But you know how he would walk with that? Who remembers in math, what is the sign for infinity? An 8 on its side. This is how he would walk. Doing that 8. Because it was an everlasting covenant. Eternal covenant. If something doesn't come to pass, it's because you're not doing your part. But to what it concerned to God, covenant is there. So you can be sure that God will not break his covenant. Glory to God. Verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. You walk by faith. When you keep the covenant, you walk by faith. You and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants. After you, every male child among you shall be circumcised. 11. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh as your foreskins, and you shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Aren't you thankful with the Lord? I said to all men. If you don't know, just ask one of the doctors what a circumcision is. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to see this, what it's saying in verse 12. Apologies, and you shall sign the covenant between you and me. Go to verse 24. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh and his foreskin. I don't think he had anesthetics on. You know what was there? There had to be blood. I don't even want to imagine that. It's this. Some males perhaps are asking, my God, does that mean that I have to circumcise myself? No. For them, like I said, it was something natural but are represented something spiritual. After you read these verses, that some of you will do, oh man, Colossians 2, That's how some of you were, right? Struggling to find that verse. With my sister over here who was struggling to find the verse. Revelations, oh man, yours. Colossians 2, glory to God. Verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who is him? Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh man, so some of the men, oh. No, no, women didn't have to do that. The circumcision that we have now is in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You and I, when you see Abraham up there, just say, thank you, Abraham. You know why? Because if Abraham hadn't done any of this, then God wouldn't have been able to do anything. The most sure thing is he would have sought someone else, but it wouldn't have been through Abraham. Now, chapter 22. And now the covenant was sealed. By this time, the blessing of Abraham financially had manifested a lot. We had been seeing a lot of the life of Abraham, and Abraham was a very rich person. The Bible. In chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What would they do with those animals? They'd kill them. That's what Abraham had to do. Now, you and I aren't scared of that anymore. We don't have to be doing any of this. But I want you to see why God then had to depend on the obedience of men and to this day. This hasn't changed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burning offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Notice what we said. And we will come back to you. We're in chapter 22. Remember what I told you on Thursday? Well, how much did I tell you, actually? One of the things that I told you is that if you remember, give or take, chapter 3 of Genesis to chapter 7 of Genesis, which we saw something of the flood, I told you that about 1,656 years had passed. So if you notice here, chapter 12 to chapter 22, not as many years had passed, but Abraham was already an old man. Abraham was rich, very rich, with a tremendous faith, because he had a great relationship with God. He wasn't the same of Genesis 12, where he told him, "Get out of your land and of your father's house." And what was the error there, if you remember? He took Lot, who was his nephew, son of one of his brothers, which we saw in the first chapters. It was his error. But now here, he already knew how to hear the voice of God, so much so that he did not doubt in offering his son. But he said these words for something, and that's where faith is in action. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Don't lose your spot there. Go to Hebrews in the New Testament, a little bit towards the end of the Bible. Not at the end of it, but towards Hebrews 11. I want you to show you something here. Speaking of Abraham, the new covenant is something is revealed to us here. Good thing that it came. Hebrews 11. Verse 17. By faith, there we go, he had a very strong faith. It was working in faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." When God told him this in chapter 22 of Genesis, we are not chapter 21, this was now in chapter 22, he believed these words, which is why it says in 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Meaning that he was going to go sacrifice his son, but he believed that God would resurrect him from the dead. Man. And Abraham, not have a Bible like you and I. We saw this Bible was made canon around the year 400 after Christ. But I'll tell you what Abraham did not have. Is that fine? I'll tell you what he didn't have. You know what he didn't have? He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have WhatsApp. He didn't have Instagram. He didn't have distractions of the type. And us, with the Holy Spirit and with this Bible here, some Christians barely even make it. For him, his Bible was that we read in chapter 15, where he said, "Look at the stars, count them if you can. That will be the number of your descendants." So he would look up, and then he mentioned the sand. That he would look at the sand, he'd look at the stars. He'd look at the sand, look at the stars all day. The sand, the stars, which is why we every day should look at this, the Word of God. So we're in my chapter 22 of Genesis. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. 22, are we good there in Genesis? Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offerings and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hands and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire on the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My God, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That's faith there. A lot of faith. God will provide. And from here, when we say God shall provide all that we need, it comes from here. If God provided a lamb to Abraham, why do you think he won't provide you for all your needs? But what do we have to do? Exercise that covenant. Do the part that corresponds to us, which is by faith in that grace, that now God can do what he has to do. And this is so good. Now go to Psalms 89, which is why I have you jumping from place to place on the Bible. Psalms 89. I want you to understand these things that are written down, because this book is so powerful. Look, Psalms 89.
Ni falsearé mi verdad.
Verse 33 and 34. Psalms 89:33 and 34. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from you, nor all my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. It's a covenant that is everlasting. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor my faithfulness. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David or to Brother Hughes. Put your name there. And it hurts me to write on my Bible. Write it. That's what it's for. Put your name there where it says David. Put your name there. Well, Brother David here already has it done for. It's already done for you. You don't write anything down there. You're good. Glory to God. Notice how we read last time in the book of Hebrews. His seed shall endure forever. Your covenant is here. Your word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Hallelujah. I believe it. And you resist all illnesses. And you refuse to walk sick. Your word is written. It is written. Glory to God. The weeks that are coming, apart from the services, we have recordings. On Friday, I have to be at a church in Phoenix. I don't know what time I'm going to get out. 9, 10, 11 at night. Then I have to drive all the way back here. I do all my businesses, everything, physical work, ministry work, everything. Almost 50 years of age. Because I read, cite the promises of the covenant. You know what I never say? Even though I'm tired, I never say, "Oh man, I'm so tired." You know what I say? "Thank you, Father. You are the strength of my life." Hallelujah. There's sometimes that I grab to to study almost 10 to 12 hours. It could be nighttime and my eyes are trying to close by themselves. I work from Monday to Monday. What time did I arrive last night? At 10? From Tucson? At 10. You know why? Because I speak the promises. Not that I'm special or anything, but it's because I exercise the covenant. Oh, well, everything's by grace. Well, I mean, they're gonna struggle there because the covenant is just there sitting down and I'm over here struggling. You gotta exercise it. I'll keep reading. This is so good. Okay, now do you understand? Are you understanding now? Still some. I could look at your faces from up here. Again, are you understanding now? At least tell me. At least be honest and say, oh, no, Brother Hughes. No, I don't. I'm still not getting it. It's, I don't know. I'll give you special classes or something. Something. I need you to understand. If not, you're going to fall behind. Look, this part here, tremendous. Back to Genesis. Can you imagine? Yeah. Isaac here. Genesis 22. Where am I? Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I don't know how to explain this. I think one time I did explain it to you. If you grab the age in which Sarah passed, I don't want to use too much time here. Isaac wasn't a kid here. He had to be older than a teenager, and some believe he was at least around the age that the Lord had when he passed. How old was the Lord Jesus when he passed? 33 years. Around 33 years old. You know, and Abraham was old, so Isaac had to believe this and get to the point where letting himself be sacrificed. That's why it's called the blessing of Abraham, and when the Bible mentions it, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's all I can tell you. Stay with this, with what we can see. Verse what? Where am I? Verse 10. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him. Who is the angel of the Lord here? The Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible mentions the angel of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to him from heaven and saying, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, here I am. So he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there beholding was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham. So a ram. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Let me see something here. Give me one moment. Battery. I don't know what happened. I had full battery right now. Well, sometimes happens where it's up very quickly. Well, aren't you thankful that we have enough batteries back there? God has provided us to buy batteries. I need some batteries, please. To not completely drain out here. Where am I? Verse 13. And Abraham, verse 14 now, called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Thank you, Gohan. Thank you. Yesterday when we were in Tucson, Gohan, yesterday we were speaking bad of you, and you barely arrived at church when you were 2 years old. You're a tremendous kid. We were in the other building, and Nubia would have to take care of you, and we would have to pray for Nubia. Glory to God. He was 2 years old when you arrived. You'd be moving under the chairs down there. Verse 15. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. Verse 16. And he said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord. I want you to see the Trinity working here. Or the deity, better said. Now back to verse 15. Then the Lord of the God called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. The angel of the Lord here. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's where you and I are, where you are that nation. The word nation merely means people. The Greek word, where it is translated for nation, means ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnic. Glory to God. Where am I? In your seed, verse 18, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Wow. If Abraham would have refused to offer his son, God, our Father, wouldn't have offered his son, the Lord Jesus. That's where it all started, do you understand? Which is why in Genesis, or in Juan, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we could say so loved the nations, that he had given his only begotten son, so that all those who believed in him should not be lost, but have everlasting life. But it's because Abraham offered his son. The question is, what would have happened with us, knowing God? He would have sought someone else. And he would have to restart all those years that it took when he called Abraham. Let's see if you remember. Help a brother out here. Don't leave it all to me. How many years was it? Was it when he called Abraham? 75. and he was 100 years when Isaac was born. Right there, that's 25 years. That was the time that it took there for him to age. Around 30 years, he would have had to start from the beginning, which is why obedience is so important. And if I hadn't obeyed, assuredly the Lord would have called someone else to pastor. That's fine, but I would have lost the blessings that he would have given me for obeying. See, it's like people who have told you, well, the good thing is that Pastor Brother Hughes has faith partners that help him so that they can take care of everything of the Bible, and they're the ones that are getting rich and not you. Boom, where's Alex? Thank you. Notice, look at verse 23. Now I'm going to start in verse 23. I think I said it right. Give or take on the age. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. How old was Sarah when she had Isaac? What was that? 90 of the promise. So she was around 91 years. So if you remove 27 minus 21, let's give or take, that gives you around the age of Isaac, 36, there we go. Give or take is what he had between 33, 36 years old, which is accurate to what some historians say. Can you see it there? That's irrelevant. It's just certain things that I like to study. But the interesting part is that you and I have a covenant with God, and that we have to exercise it. Now in chapter 24, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all his things. Abraham was around 140 years. So I've heard some people say, oh, I'm 75, and they're like, oh, I'm old. Some of them want to die now. It's part of your covenant. Glory to God. How many of you understood this? Remember how I mentioned Paul right now? In Thessalonians. Let's go there in the minutes that I have to close up. Let me see here. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, enduring more eagerly to see your face with great desire, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. So what did Paul do here? 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Therefore, when we no longer could endure it, we thought it was good to live in Athens and sent Timothy. They sent Timothy. I'm not going very fast, but it's just to take advantage of time. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you. Oh, before that, actually. Right there in 4. Verse 2 and 3. Because I'm trying to make a point that I did right now, how God works through people. 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Being vigilant in all with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word. Now hold on. If God did it all through Christ, why would he have to tell the brothers in Colossians to pray for him so that the Lord would open the door for him? These are some of the prayers that I make as well. Open the doors. More radio stations. More outreach. But if it's all by grace, what is it then? Grace gives me the authority to do it. But I have to do it to release now that grace, that kingdom. Notice verse 12. Now verse 12. Epaphras was the pastor. If you were going to have a kid, there's a good name for him. A biblical name. Who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring. Laboring here has to do with interceding, with prayer. Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God already paid it all through him, where we're going to be standing perfectly and complete. Then why did he tell us to pray? Or why was Epaphras praying this way? Can you see it? Now don't go there, I'm just going to mention it. But remember in Exodus, when Pharaoh was chasing the people of Israel, what did the Lord say? Extend your rod. Extend your staff. And advance. Move. He told Moses. If Moses hadn't done anything, Pharaoh would have reached them and would have returned them to Egypt or killed them. And you'll find this in all the Bible. If you go all the way to the book of Revelations, don't go there. I'm saying that if you see it, what did he tell the pastors of the churches there in Revelations? He gave them certain instructions there that they had to correct. Why didn't God do it by himself? That God corrects everything. Which is why that saying that Christians sometimes use, be careful with that of, I put it all in the hands of God. I leave it all in the hands of God. What are you implying with that? What you're implying is this. God will do whatever he wants. I won't do anything. No. There's a covenant that you have to exercise. Let's suppose that I'm going to pray for someone who's not here, who's wrong or cold, the things of God. Well, one time that I now pray for that person, or am praying, and someone tells me, oh, well, what's going to happen? Well, I can say, well, I don't know. God is now dealing with that person. But my job first is to pray here on the earth. And you see that? Do you understand? But Brother Hughes, I'm in depression and I'm waiting for God to do something with this depression. Nothing's going to happen unless you take your spot and you tell that spirit of depression, get out of my mind. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Nothing's going to happen. You have to exercise the covenant. That covenant is eternal. If something doesn't happen, it's as if the covenant is as if you're very hungry, you have 3-4 days without eating, and there's a plate there of some enchiladas with a lot of cheese. Some of you are even wanting to eat your husband now, right there, right next to you, grabbing a big bite. We're about to head out. Hold on. And you're there just smelling them. And it looks so tasty. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell me a cake that you like. Which one is it? Three milks. And then the cake is there waiting for you. And then they ask you, oh, well, I'm so hungry, and someone tells you, why don't you eat anything? Well, it's by grace. I'm waiting for God to open up my mouth and put the food in there and then make me chew it. And then he'll make me swallow it. I don't know, he'll... he'll grab my neck and force it down. Do you think it's going to happen that way? No. Faith is grabbing this. You grabbing it. I'm eating it. In the example of food. Now you're all going to be very obedient. Pastor said that we have to eat. And tomorrow when you're on the scale, it's pastor's fault. Now, do you understand this? Now close up with this. Thank you, Lord. I'll close up with this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5. All of chapter 8, if you read it at home, 2 Corinthians, all of 8 and 9, Paul is speaking of offerings, of giving in the works of God. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand. You know what they call offering? Generosity, remember, which you had previously promised, that I may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now help me with the New Living Translation there. And God generously provides all, as the scripture says, there who gives generously to the poor, good deeds will be remembered forever. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That now we need a lot more time here. That word grace means gives you the ability or capacitates you divinely, that you always having all sufficiently in all things may have in abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Now that word there, seed, is referring to the spot in which you sow, in the natural. But again, that word comes directly for seed, for descendants. The word seed in the Greek is a Greek word for sperm, much clearer than water. Curiously, in the Hebrew, the word seed, in the Hebrew is the word posterity. You know what that word means? Simple. It means future or the tomorrow. That's what that word means, prosperity, which means what you sow now shall be your future. Yesterday I was speaking with my brothers in Tucson. Not talking, but when I was preaching, said so when Nuvi and I were in Douglas, we lived on 13th Street and B Avenue, and we were able to reach the point where we live now on Glen Road, and all that territory and acres they were given to us. But why, if Nuvi and I had not exercised our covenant in the area of giving, God wouldn't have spoken to the person who gave us all that territory. And Nuvi and I were speaking because in some time we want to remodel our home. Actually, Nuvi and I were talking that it's probable that we're going to completely remove that house that we live right now and remake it. Talking with good construction companies to make the job quick. And we're looking. that not just remodeling, but just completely tear it down and start from new. But what I'm telling you is how do we reach this point? Because for years we exercised the laws of giving. God has a financial plan with Abraham. If you remember, don't go there because we're going to lose more time. But in chapter 15, where we started reading, he said, after this time, if you remember, then after this time was what? When Abraham gave the tithing to Melchizedek, then God said, I will give you descendants. Simple as that. And God always gives seed to who sower, regardless of the circumstance of the country. It's not good that the country is in the state that it is right now. Nevertheless, you and I cannot walk by our governments because we have a new president. Well, and what if he doesn't do the things correctly, for example? Or if he does them just for 4 years and then after that? Well, we don't know. Am I right? But we do know. But the promise says that it's eternal covenant and God does not lie. Stand on your feet. Thank you.
Fact, yes. I focus more in words and lack of forgiving. Are you sowing today? Giving isn't by obligation, and you know that. And very quickly, I'm going to tithe today. Tithe is also a giving, not a payment. Some people you say have to pay. Don't pay. We give. Tithing is good. It's honorable. Maybe some people who have been Christians for 20 years and they've only invested at 10%. And when you go beyond that, you decide with the Holy Spirit. And once you reach that, stop speaking ill. Stop giving space in your home. Start in Genesis. But this is where. Heavenly Father, we give you glory. And I raise in prayer. Raise them up in prayer. Their homes, their families. I speak peace. Words full of faith and authority of God. Unity, your home. And I cast out all sickness, all perverse fights, arguments. And I speak the peace of the Lord that overpasses all understanding. I speak that the Holy Spirit, I speak that you hear the voice of Jesus Christ. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That there is a guard on your mouth. And every spirit of offense out. That there is no anger towards anyone. Some people have gone through abuse, psychological ones, abuse. Maybe 20 years, maybe more, maybe less. But let me remind you that the Lord is your source, that He is with you. That He loves you and has a great future for you. No, forget the past. Can't forget, because forgiving is an act of your own will. Brother Hughes, I don't feel like forgiving. It's by faith. You say, I forgive those people who hurt me. I forgive that past. And you mention it between you and the Lord. And when the devil comes and reminds you of that person or those actions, and you want to get mad, you say, no, devil, I've already forgiven them. I don't receive it. I am free. Amen. Amen. Leave the past. Because the past, the devil uses them to come and block the Lord. You need to be free. Remember that no one owes you anything, and you don't owe anyone but loving them. What unites us and brings us together is that love and that obedience of God. Hallelujah. If all the nations understood this, and some people say, the government has to help me. They have to. Take that idea out of your mind. No one owes you anything. Your source is God. Maybe the Lord can use a human being to bless you, but it's always the Lord using that. Don't demand anything from anyone. The Lord is your source. Thank you, Lord. Holy Father, thank you. And I speak a financial blessing. And we put your pact in motion. It is you, the one that brings harvest. And before we receive it, we give thanks. And by faith, using our authority, we tell that seed, multiply and fructify and bring that harvest, a financial harvest. And angels of prosperity move in our favor. Hallelujah. You receive it? You receive it? Give thanks to God. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.